One of the things that is available to us, too, when we're talking particularly to program staff that may be hesitant to agree with you, is that any one program can be used to help prove the point for any other. And this wouldn't be something that you'd be expected to write in a report, but it's certainly something that you can say in a discussion. So we know that if we're dealing with, let's say, an insurance company, where this question would probably arise most frequently, you can point out that Medicare and Medicaid all recognize the medical purpose of communication aids. The Food and Drug Administration classifies communication devices as a prosthetic device, but they use the phrase, these are devices used for a medical purpose. They call them electronic communication aids. Insurers, if it's not one of these, but it's another, you can point out that a group of insurers now have specific SGD coverage criteria that recognize they have a medical purpose. And in addition, there's a tool that will be available at the RERC website, either, again, later this month or early in January, which I'd like to talk about for a minute, which is it will be a database of insurance approvals. It won't be complete. It'll span about 8 to 10 years. So clearly, devices have been available for more than 25, and insurers have been paying for communication devices as long as they've existed, since the late 1970s. And there's been a steady growth of communication device coverage by insurers. In the early 1990s, there were reports of about 100, or maybe a few more than that. By the mid-1990s, there were about 400 to 500. And by 2003, there were well more than 1,000 different insurers. And we know this for certain because we have a list of them. We can list them by name. In addition, we can list them by how many approvals have been issued. So the single largest approval source among insurers is UnitedHealthcare. They're a large player in the Northeast. They just bought Oxford Healthcare. They're one of the largest providers in the United States. And they've approved hundreds of devices, and that will be available to you on the database. You just sort them alphabetically by name, and then they'll be listed repeatedly, and they'll be numbered, so you can just do the subtraction to identify how many are there. What does it mean to you as you write out a funding report or if you're talking to a funding staff person? It's not binding precedent. It's not something, if you paid before, you therefore must pay again in insurance. But because the vocabulary from policy to policy is so similar, it creates something for the insurer to look at. Can you tell me, UnitedHealthcare, when you're giving me a hard time for my current client, that the 350 prior decisions that were yes are based on a scope of coverage in policy or plan that's so different that it warrants all the hassle you're giving me now? And they're not going to look. They're going to say yes. I mean, that's going to end it, because they're not going to be able to go back and to tell you that, in fact, the vocabulary is so distinct for this particular policy that your client now deserves the trouble that they're giving him. But this is something that you could write. I would recommend that you write into all of your reports. It takes 2 minutes to check. Add it in one sentence. Your insurer has paid for these devices in the past. And it would be something that you're putting them on notice, that you know, and you're putting them on notice that they should check before they say no to this case.